Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the risen Christ. Amen. If there's one thing that Christians will say that they have an abundance of, or sometimes, maybe sometimes even a little of, it is faith. I mean, it's one of the most cornerstones of all religions, and certainly the most cornerstone of the Christian religion is faith. Faith in Christ. Faith in the promises of God. We were raised on stories of this faith. If you go to our Sunday school lessons and going even back, even maybe when we were watching on TV on sometimes, or just hearing from our parents, the stories of some of the Old Testament heroes of faith. And they are certainly wonderful stories. You have the story of Joshua as he goes into the promised land, leading his people, Israel, newly elected leader, is scared, anxious, and afraid of what's going to happen. And yet God says, do not be afraid. I am with you. And Joshua believes in this promise and goes in, and the Israelites take back the promised land. A true hero of faith. And we even hear the more heroes of faith in our Hebrew reading today. We heard about some of the more obscure ones. I mean, we all know, or maybe do not know, about the story of Cain and Abel, about how Cain killed his brother Abel because Abel gave a sacrifice that was pleasing to God, because he had faith in God. And how even though Abel died, he was still able to speak to God and call out for the judgment and justice for his murderer. We also heard the story of Enoch, a very, very not well-known story about a man, and it's really a couple of sentences in the Bible. It goes by like that, where Enoch was actually taken up into heaven by God because he pleased God, because he had faith in God, and it was credited to him, his righteousness. Small little thing, but he was a hero of faith. The bigger ones, Moses, who led the people of Israel even before Joshua to go to the promised land. And of course, David, the first or second king of Israel, who was able to have faith even when Saul was persecuting him and running him around and wanted to kill him. But he believed in God and was credited to him as righteous. These stories we all grew up on, they fill us with excitement, wonder, and actually wondering maybe why we can't have that kind of a faith. But my brothers and sisters in Christ, I tell you right now, you do have that faith. That same faith that all of the heroes of the Old Testament did. The faith that comes in the promises of Christ. For he has called us to be his children. And we heard in the gospel lesson today, we do not need to fear. We do not have to be anxious about anything, for we have Christ in us. We are saved by Christ, baptized into new life. So we have that faith. So why are we still anxious? Why? We go maybe to the heroes of the Old Testament, look at their lives and say, well, they weren't. Certainly not. You'd be wrong there, though. For we heard the story today of Abraham. Some context for you for this reading in Genesis. Abraham, then known as Abram, was living in a different region entirely with his family. Normally back then you would stay in family tribes. You would stay close to your home. You would be connected to your clan because there was safety there. There was security. And he married his wife, then known as Sarai. And Sarai and Abram were living in this land peacefully for about 75 years. Now, I know that 75 years, people lived longer back then, but 75 years is still pretty old for people back then. And then, all of a sudden, in his 75th year, Abram gets a message from God telling him, essentially, you are going to go that way, somewhere. And you're going to find a land that is wonderful and great, and I am going to make you the father of a great nation. So get up, move, Leave your family. Leave your clan. Leave your security and go out there into the world. Could you do that at 75 years old? No, we're thinking about being retired by then. Or being retired by then. But Abram goes, takes his part of the family, his nephew Lot, and they go out into the wilderness, to the wild, to the place where chaos reigns, where there is no security. And they go out into the wilderness, and they are beset by many things on this journey. They go through Egypt, where even though that Sarai was old, she was still very beautiful. And so Pharaoh wanted her as his wife. But of course, that didn't work. And Abraham lied, saying that Sarah was his sister, so that he could curry favor with Pharaoh. Well, then all of Pharaoh's household became to go sick, and destruction was raining down on them. And, well, Pharaoh called Abraham out on his lie. So much for a hero of faith. Lying to a king? And yet, God preserved Abraham. He softened Pharaoh's heart, allowed forgiveness to reign, and they went on their way, continuing on. And after they got a couple more miles out, maybe a couple more months, or maybe even years after this, his nephew Lot comes to Abram and says, I want to go take my portion of the family and leave you to go settle near this area. Abraham says, okay, go with my blessing. Lot goes. It is captured and roughhoused by bandits. It is the wilderness where chaos reigns. Abram goes back, saves his nephew, and Lot still doesn't want to go with Abram. Leaves him alone. And Abram continues on. We then get to this part of the story. Before this, God has continuously promised Abraham that he is with him, that he is going to give him descendants. God says, I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, of the whole earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring can be counted. He is saying that his descendants of Abram will be incountable. They will be as numerous as sand upon the shore, as dust upon the earth. This promise was instilled in Abraham. The promise of this that he clung to, that he would go miles and miles out of his way, taking and leaving everything that he knew behind, because he had faith. But then he wavered. Being stuck in Egypt, having his nephew leave him, being away from his family, away in unknown territory, a stranger in a strange land, exiled in all the right and all the wrong ways, and in all the ways that seem just impossible to overcome, he finally has had enough. Can't blame him. He goes and he shouts to God in our Old Testament reading, Oh Lord, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. Probably wasn't even related to Abram at this time. It was just someone in the family connected somehow. Behold, Abram says, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my own household will be my heir. Abraham is scared. He's confused. He's angry. He's anxious. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know what's going on. And he just wants some answers. We all can relate to that. About wanting answers to some anxious time in our lives. And we cry to God, okay, I'm here. I have faith. And yet, the anxiousness in our heart is still there. It doesn't seem to go away. We see it even in the heroes of the Old Testament. Joshua wanted nothing to do with the people of Israel. He didn't want to go into the land of he was promised. He was scared. He followed God, but that scared and that anxious and followed him the entire way. Yes, the Israelites won battle after battle, but they lost a lot. And in the end, they weren't even able to conquer the land of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. David himself was scared and anxious. He relied on himself more and more to get things done and fell away from the grace of God, even committing adultery because he thought he was better than God. And he knew God's plans more because he was tired of waiting. The anxious heart is ever growing, and even the people of Israel began to grow anxious in the time where they didn't see God's promises made out. They didn't see the kingdom that was going to be built. They didn't believe that God was truly at the heart of all things, that they were his people, and so they turned to other gods, other ways that they could get things, other ways that they could seek the kingdom. They were turned to wondering about what food they were going to have, what they were going to eat, because there that gave them some security. And there they were taken over time and time again by the enemies of God. It even happened with Abraham. Abraham was assured of God's promises right then and right there when he cried out to God, that God said, I will make your descendants as innumerable as the stars. And yet in the very next chapter of the story, Sarai is worried and anxious that they don't have anyone and says to her husband, go and sleep with my handmaiden, and that one will be your heir. That trust in the promises of God, that anxiousness was warring in the heart of Sarai, and anxiousness won out. And so Abram laid with Hagar. Hagar begot Ishmael. It wasn't in God's plan. And so Sarai grew jealous and angry and sent Hagar and Ishmael away into that same chaos and that same wilderness. The people of old succumbed to doubt, to fear, and to anxiousness. They were the same as us, the same as you and I today. For the Christian today is in this cross of doubt, worry, and anxiousness. Like the people of old, like the heroes of the Old Testament, we have that same faith, that same strength that God has given to us, that he gave to them, and yet there is worry. And we hear the words of Christ today, and it almost seems laughable, doesn't it? Do not be anxious, for tomorrow has worries enough for their own. Do the birds worry about where they're going to get their food? Do the lilies of the field worry about how they're going to be clothing themselves? We all know the answer to this is, of course not. We know as Christians that we should not be anxious, and yet we are. So then comes the amendment of why we're anxious. We know why is sin. So if we know the why, then how do we get over it? And there are many ways that people have come to try to rationalize having anxiousness and still be a Christian. Some say that is because you do not have enough faith. Okay. That one doesn't really work, though. Because we do have faith. We have faith in Christ. And yet, we're still anxious. Well, you don't have enough faith. That's the whole thing. You don't have enough faith to trust in Christ. Well, but Christ said that faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. The size of my faith doesn't matter. It's the faith in Christ. That's what matters. And yet, I'm still anxious. So, if having faith is not the answer to getting over my anxiety, if having the anxiousness and having not and the amount of faith I have isn't enough to cure me of my anxiousness, what will? Does God give me anything? Does Jesus say in this text, just don't worry about it? Look at these birds. Look at the ravens. In some gospel texts, he uses sparrows. We're supposed to look at them? They eat worms in my backyard. I know they're not worried, but I still am. What does God say to me right now in my anxiousness, in my anxiety? How, God, we cry, help me. And he listens. He does. Christ gives a command. Maybe you caught it in our gospel lesson. Seek his kingdom. He says to you, instead, seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Seek God's kingdom. Okay? What does that look like? The kingdom of God came near and came on earth all those centuries ago. Christ. But Christ came upon the earth after coming out of the wilderness and out of the chaos and said, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in me. Seek God's kingdom. Seek Christ. Christ went out into the world and he healed those who were sick, taught the people who were never taught. He went and he was with the people who were the undesirables of that time. He called disciples to join him, to learn from him, to be taught by him, and to teach others. And he said to them, look at me. Look at what I'm doing, what I've done for you. Seek the kingdom. Seek me. Seek Christ. The time was coming when he was going to be brought to the people to be handed over to die on a cross. And yet he stands there with his disciples. And he says, take, eat. This is my body. Take, drink. This is my blood. Look at what I am giving to you. I am giving you forgiveness of sins. I am giving you my own flesh and my own blood to preserve you in the time when I will be away from you. In the time that there, you can go to this meal. You can go and receive this forgiveness, for this is my body. This is my blood. This is my kingdom. Seek my kingdom. Seek Christ. And he goes, and there we see the kingdom fulfilled upon that cross. The purpose of Christ's ministry here on earth, where he stands on the cross, laid out all to bear, and there is God's kingdom, atoned for and promised for the whole world. Seek the kingdom. Seek Christ. He rose from the dead on the third day, and all of the world would never be the same again. For he said to his disciples, I am now going to a place where I will prepare a place for you. And you will come after me. But go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Even when Christ left this earth, he told his disciples, seek the kingdom. Seek me. Look to me, and I will be with you. It's going to be hard. It's going to be rough. Even when Christ left, there were problems in the church. There were problems in the disciples' own lives. I mean, we had Saul, the persecutor, who would go out and harm Christians, persecute them. But the people sought Christ. They looked to Christ. They sought his kingdom. And the church grew despite the persecution, and sometimes because of the persecution. God does not tell us here in the text that you won't be anxious. He knows you will. He even says, in this world you will have trouble. But seek his kingdom. Seek Christ. Look to him in the word look to him as we go into this next week. Next week, we will receive Christ's body and blood here at the altar, and there we will see Christ. We will seek him for forgiveness. Look to him. And if we look to Christ, all things become a little bit easier. If we seek to do what Christ did, to love our neighbor as ourselves, we won't be worried as much. I know it sounds crazy. You're still going to be anxious. You're still going to have worries. But seek Christ. Look to Christ. Look to what his promises are. Seek him in his word, in the written word that he has given to us. Right now, you all are seeking Christ right here at this minute because you are here at Blessed Savior, hearing God's word, singing praises to God, praying to God. Here is where you can see Christ and where you can actively seek his kingdom. God knows you will be anxious. God knows you will have times in your life when it will look dark, when you'll be worried about what's coming next. But he says, be still. Know that I am God. Seek me, for I have claimed you as my child. So come, my brothers and sisters in Christ, let us seek after Christ. Seek God's kingdom together. Amen.